Lord, all of last year and into this one, taking care of our needs, providing daily bread for us. Lord, for watching out for us and protecting us from dangers seen and unseen, from spiritual forces that are waging war against our souls. Thank you, Lord, for the people that you have brought into our lives, and Lord, for the impact that they have had on our relationship with you, whether they intended for it to be good or not. We thank you for being sovereign in our lives. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to gather in this place at this time with one another. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. The sound ministry is feeling good about themselves because of their new booth back here. And we really want to say thank you to Marlo for spearheading this whole operation. I'm setting that up so that great job. So they can see us and make us sound our best and look our best. Well, at least sound our best.
So
yes, indeed, I know. But that's great. Our message this morning is titled A God-Approved Plan. A God-Approved Plan for Looking at Your Future. A God-Approved Plan for Looking at Your Future. I want you to turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16 will be our text. I say it's a God-approved plan because there are other ways to look into your future. But they are not God-approved. And I know this from experience because before I came to know the Lord, I delved in some of these methods of looking into the future by consulting with spiritual beings that were as real as this room, but not of God. And this is why the scripture forbade the Israelites from looking to spiritists, not because it was false, but because there are spirits that mean us evil and are deceitful. But there is a God-approved way of looking into your future as you consider the year to come. And I want to begin by reading to you, and I'm going to read several little passages. And as you hear these things being read, unless I say otherwise, these are things that have come directly from my journal. I did not write them for this morning's message. I wrote them for me, and they just happened to fit into this morning's message. So I did not write these things with an audience in view. I wrote them strictly between the Lord and I. I'm going to share it with you. So if you think, this is what I wrote first, if you think I am just a religious guy, you really don't know what drives me. I am a pastor and proud to be so and happy that the Lord has given me the privilege of being a pastor. But it is not religion that drives me as a pastor. I don't like being called religious, and I will tell you why in a minute. But if you think I'm just a religious guy, you really don't know what drives me. I have the soul of an explorer. I am in search of the full value that I can get out of this amazing life that I have been given. If I want to get the maximum benefit from my car, I consult the owner's manual or talk to the manufacturer. In the same way, to get the maximum benefit from my life, I consult my Creator. He not only understands my human appetites and my human drives, he created them. He created my capacity for wonder. I want to live a life full of wonder, in a world of wonder. He created my capacity for pleasure. I want to fully enjoy life's pleasures. He created my capacity for fascination. I want to live in fresh fascination every day. I do not want to succumb to doldrums and to the mundane. He created my capacity for fascination. He created my longing for purpose. I want my life to matter in the few years that I have. He created that sense, that desire for purpose. He created my capacity for love and my longing for love. I want more love in my life. I want to be able to receive it more fully. I want to be able to give it more fully. He created my capacity for love. Jesus said, I came that they might have life to the full. That is, to its full capacity. So in my quest for a life that maximizes these benefits, it only makes sense to me to surrender it to the expert. I believe the living, risen Jesus Christ is that expert. And what I have discovered is he himself is the source of all those longings. As the expedition continues, approaching 40 years now, I've been so thrilled with the results. Even with all the normal ups and downs of life and the travails and the adversity and the challenges and the bumps that I share with every other human being, let me say, even despite all of that, I cannot imagine any path more satisfying. So no, I am not religious. Religion changes our practice. Jesus changes our person. Amen. And because he is real, Psalm 16 is ours to claim for our future as well as our present. So let's look at Psalm 16. It's a great place from which to launch 2016. Psalm 16, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Isn't that a great place to launch 2016? We could take all of those statements and say, Lord, make it so this year.
Amen.
We can look at specific things that we know are on the horizon or that we are in the midst of right now. And we can take this psalm and use it as a template and say, Lord, as it relates to that thing, make it so.
Amen.
Make it so. If you're taking notes, here's the main idea that I want you to capture from the text that I'm going to develop and the points that I'm going to make that follow. The main idea is this. The greatest factor in how we experience the new year, the greatest factor in how we experience the new year comes from our sight, not from our might. The greatest factor in how we experience the new year comes from our sight, not from our might. The greatest guarantee that we have for a successful 2016 has nothing or little to do, I should say, with the plans we make. Because you know what some people say, and I don't subscribe to this wholeheartedly, but I kind of do. When you make your plans, God laughs.
Yes.
I don't think he laughs, per se. But I think when we make our plans, it is essential that we make them in pencil.
Amen. Amen.
And that we don't take all of our money out of our bank and stick it in that plan.
Right.
And when I say money from the blank bank, I'm talking about our emotional investment, our psychological investment, our material investment, because we know that the future is a fog. We know this. But there is something we can depend upon. God has not left us to just flail helplessly in the dark. He's giving us a way to look into our future so we can feel the security that he wants us to have. So the greatest guarantor of the future and how we experience it is how we see it, not how well we plan it.
Amen.
How we see it. And when I say sight, sight is not physical sight. Sight is realization.
Amen.
That's a synonym.
Amen.
Realization. Trusting God to open up our understanding so that our mantras, the things that we say we believe, the things we sing about, brothers and sisters, the things we read about in the scriptures in our morning devotionals, the things we pray about as we take our walks or bend our knees at the end of the day, all those truths become more than platitudes. And they become living realities within us. That's sight. That's sight. And the greatest determinant, the greatest factor in how we experience the new year comes from our sight, not from our might. The psalmist says, the boundary lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I'm still praying, Lord, that you keep me safe because there's a threat out there. So it doesn't mean my life is perfect. It starts off with keep me safe. Something's troubling on the horizon. Keep me safe. But the boundary line have fallen to me in pleasant places, even though there's a risk, even though there's a threat, even though there are things out there that I wish were not. The boundary lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. My heritage is delightful to me. That's sight. Sight. Sight is not physical sight. It's realization. It's realizing the pleasant boundary lines that God has established for each one of us. Without exception, the boundary lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. As you sit there, as it is, without one thing changing, you are sitting in the boundaries of pleasant places. Amen. And your heritage is a delight. Amen. The question is, do we realize it? Mm-hmm. Can we see it? The greatest determinant for 2016 is what we see, not what we plan. So here are some things I want you to prayerfully consider and trust the Lord to increase and enhance your sight. These are things I pray for me. I'm only sharing with you what I talk to the Lord about every day. When I give a sermon, it's not, I don't prepare a sermon, I compile one.
Amen.
And it's a compilation of the very things that I am dealing with and trusting the Lord for in my own life.
Amen.
So number one, that we prayerfully consider and ask God to help us to see. Realize who is your escort. I know God is with me. Do you know he's with you? Do you see him as being with you? Is he as real to you as the air you're breathing? As the seat you're sitting in? As the noise of Monday morning? As the cacophony of your office? Or your workplace, or your classroom. Realize who is your escort. Something happened to my prayer life. At no time in my Christian journey have I ever felt less obligated to pray. At no time in all my years as a Christian have I felt less obligated to pray. And ironically, at no time in my life have I spent more time in prayer. That's the truth. That is because the Lord has changed my paradigm.
Yes.
From doing something to being with someone.
Amen.
When prayer becomes doing something, it can feel like an obligation.
Yes.
But when it's being with someone, that changes the dynamic. And not just any someone. It's an invitation to spend time with someone who gets me and still loves me.
Amen.
Someone who not only accepts me, but also likes me.
Amen.
There was a time I said, Lord, I know you love me, but do you like me? Someone who also likes me. Someone with whom I can sit side by side on the banks of still waters.
Yes.
Or confide in about the impact of the storms of life. Someone who hears the requests of my lips and also the unspoken moods of my spirit.
Amen.
Someone who cares about what I care about. And who I care about. Someone who is both a companion and a coach.
Yes, yes.
someone who provides consolation in disappointment, as well as partnership in purpose. Someone with whom I feel no need to impress or pressure to perform. Someone who is never horrified by my choices. Never horrified by my choices. But is always honest with me about the quality of them.
Amen.
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 That's security.
Amen.
I ask anybody listening to this or who might read this, who wouldn't be addicted to such a relationship? And for that reason, I no longer see prayer as a discipline, but as an unbelievable, indescribable privilege.
Pure joy.
Amen.
And that is who my escort is for 2016. And that is the one I want to see even more clearly. And you know what? He's not shutting it down. He's not slowing down his magnificence or his wonder in terms of revealing that. The more you seek him for him, the more you will know him as he is. And the more you know him, the more you will see how delightful he is. And the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. What do you want to be more of in 2016?
Christ-like.
What do you want? What do you want? Name the area. Look at it. Study it. Say, I wish I was more of this. I wish I was less of that. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. What I am finding is the more delightful he is to me, the more like him I become.
Amen.
And it's not that I'm targeting all the areas I want to be delightful in. I'm targeting him.
Amen.
And the more absorbed I am with him, those other things just start falling away like dead leaves, dead twigs. They just start falling off, and you're never perfect because you've always got the flesh.
Amen.
And the flesh always has a way of going, and somebody said, never be surprised at what your flesh will do. No matter where you are on the continuum of spirituality, it can rear its ugly head and bite you bad.
Amen.
But what I have found, given the choice between trying to target individual areas and try to pick them off in order to become more magnificent in my daily behavior versus basking in the joy of my Savior and being with the one that I just described,
yes.
I find that I am far less conscious of and far less caught up in the net of old habits and old patterns of thinking, debilitating ways. Less. Know who your escort is in 2016. Know who is with you. And don't let the evil one, and his primary objective is to deface the one who is with you. To plant lies in your head and in your heart and soul about the quality of your relationship with him or the security of your relationship with him so that he becomes less of a delight and more of a duty or the cosmic police officer waiting behind a sign to flag you for speeding. Second, recognize that we've already won the most important victory. Whatever challenges await you in 2016, we have already won the most important victory. Lord, help us to see this. We've heard it. We sing about it. Lord, help us to realize that we are already victorious. Thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ.
Yes.
And thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My beloved Michigan State Spartans took a terrible fall to the Alabama Crimson Tide. So it was 38 to nothing. They got spanked. But I gave a shout out to the Crimson Tide through my tears. I gave a shout out to them. I congratulated them. And my life went on. And I consoled myself, honestly and truly, with the fact that, you know what? I've already won the most important victory.
Amen.
And nothing can take it away. You see, what Christ has done for me, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can happen today, tomorrow, nothing can happen that can change my eternal destiny or my eternal status before God. There is nothing that can happen in 2016 that can change my eternal destination. I know where I'm going, and if I don't make it to the end of 2016, which is a possibility, a distinct possibility, I'm not setting up next year's Christmas tree already.
Right, right.
But when these eyes close, and my wife said, let me go first, then you can go however you want it. Don't leave me here. Let me go first, and then you can go however you choose. We were joking because I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to get sick. I think I'm just going to die. I'm just going to just be gone. That's how it's going to happen for me. And that's when she said that. No. You don't go like that. You go first, and then you can go however you want to go. Nothing's going to happen to change my eternal destiny. The boundary lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. And my heritage here and there is beautiful. It's delightful. The scripture says that the present day sufferings that we are encountering are not even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us on that day. Realize that your status before God, he could not love you anymore. What's growing is not God's love for us. What's growing is our realization of his love for us.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what's growing. He couldn't love you anymore. Darren. Darren's made spaghetti for us afterwards.
Yeah, he did.
So for those of you who stay till the end of the message, you can have spaghetti. For those of you who leave early, tough. But whether Darren blesses us with spaghetti or not, God's not going to love him any less. The worship team does a magnificent job. But whether they sing another word or not, it's not going to change God's love for them.
Amen.
I had Dunkin' Donuts and coffee with Eleanor Dixon Terry, our Sunday school superintendent. And I wanted her to know primarily as we reviewed the year, talked about Sunday school, we love you. And if you resigned today, your value to us would not be diminished one bit.
Amen.
Not one bit. And I wanted her to hear. I wanted her to feel that and see that. And the same goes for all of us in here, brothers and sisters. Because that's how God loves us. And far be it, the reality is that the more we realize that, we don't say, well, I'm not going to do a thing. We may for a while. And that's okay for a while. You may say, okay, I'm done with that. And now I'm going to make elaborate plans to do nothing. That may be so. But somewhere along the line, our spirits are revived.
Yes.
And I'm telling you what I know. Because
yes.
I had to set down, I had to sit down and set down some of my pastor stuff years ago. And it was then that the Lord reassured me. I don't love you because you're a pastor. You're a pastor because I love you. That's right. I got the order mixed up. That's right. I'm a pastor because he loves me. He doesn't love me because I'm a pastor. And whatever that thing is that you are, he doesn't love you because you're that thing. He couldn't love you anymore. I wish that sometimes I said, Lord, it would be great if we could see the affection that wells up in you when we turn our gaze to you. How motivating would that be? He has set his affection upon us. Brother George was, George Mays over here, he was posting something on Facebook, and I told him I was going to read it, but he said, this was his post, restoration has finally come, been restored back to my place in God. What would I know about being restored if I never lost my place? What would I know about his mercy if I hadn't gotten out of grace? It sort of reminds me of the prodigal son after his righteous living, all the evil he'd done. Yet when he returned, his father received him home, gave him a ring of gold, put him on a robe, killed the fatted calf, gave him something he never had. Restoration, restore the joy of my salvation. Give me back my consecration. Restore the life that I once knew. I'm giving my life back to you. And we just like to say, restore me, restore the joy. Restore me, restore the joy. I'm restored and I'm glad about it. I'm renewed and I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. 5 exclamation points.
That's a song, by the way.
That's a song?
Amen.
That's a song?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I said to him, I wrote back to him, I said, you know, I wrote back, I said, you are tethered to him, brother. You are tethered to him. We let go. We float around. Maybe bang into things. But then we feel the tug of that lifeline.
Yes.
That connects us to him. And that lifeline is the Holy Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
And he will never leave you and never forsake you. No matter what's going on in our heads about where we are, and we can go to some places, can't we?
Yeah.
We can go to some places in our own minds about where we are, but where we really are, God help us to see. That we are tethered to him. Forever. Number 3, realize what we become as we strive towards our goals. Realize what we become as we strive towards our goals is far more important than what we achieve. What we become as we strive towards our goals is far more important than what we achieve. You're going to have some ups and downs. You're going to have some things that are going to turn out the way you want them to, and some things that are going to not turn out the way you want them to. But either way, what we become as we strive forward is more important than what we achieve. So take inventory of how you've grown and what you've learned, because you have.
Thank you, Lord.
You have.
Thank you, Lord.
And be in a posture of learning. Have a learner's mind instead of I've got to succeed mind. A learner's mind.
Amen.
You see, how intelligent are you? How intelligent are you? See, intelligence is not a measure of one's knowledge. It's a measure of one's capacity for learning. Therefore, the most intelligent people are not know-it-alls. They are learn-it-alls. Translated into a spiritual perspective, intelligence is learning how to forgive. Learning to put yourself in someone else's shoes.
Yes.
And see life from their vantage point. Learning to recognize where we've been wrong and to apologize. Disciple literally means learner. And that is why Jesus' words are so important. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The most unintelligent persons are those who think they are so wise that they're not open to learning.
Amen.
And to them, the scripture issues a dreadful warning. There is more hope for a fool. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes, the proverb says? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Number four, recognize the benefits that are gained in the process itself. Recognize the benefits gained in the process itself, the relationships developed, the good times enjoyed, and the other pleasurable experiences along the way. Think about the benefits that are gained in the process as you move through the year. Number five, remember all glory is fleeting except eternal glory. All glory is fleeting except eternal glory.
Amen.
The praise of man is written in ice.
Right.
And eventually, the sun comes out.
Amen.
Build your hopes on things eternal, says the song.
Yes. Yes.
We have as our ambition, Paul said, to be pleasing to him. Make your focus in 2016, your primary focus, to be pleasing to him. And whatever happens as a consequence of that focus, let it be. Realize that you have been successful in the eyes of the one who is the ultimate judge. Recognize that all glory is fleeting except eternal glory. Number six, remember defeat does not diminish you unless you allow it to. Defeat does not diminish you unless you allow it to.
Amen.
You can accept setbacks without being defeated. You can accept disappointment without giving in to discouragement. You can accept the temporary defeat of a situation without having a defeated spirit. And the way that we do that is by keeping our eyes fixed on the one whose love for us does not vacillate. And finally, receive the support of friends and family as from the Lord. That comes as a result of a conversation we were having at the kitchen table. My wife and daughter and I were talking, and we were talking about this whole thing about how do you rebound or how do you keep going when you hit a setback. And our daughter piped up immediately and talked and said this: family, friend, receive their support. Receive the support of those that God has placed in your life as coming from him. God uses people. It's not just you on an island. That's not how it works. That's not how it was designed. That phone call, it's not just a coincidence when someone calls and blesses you or says, I was praying for you. Receive it. Absorb it.
Amen.
Nestle into it. Amen. Come here, honey, for a second. She's a good nestler. I'm gonna show you. This is what I mean. I'm gonna give her a hug and she's gonna nestle into it. Okay, come here, honey. Nestle in. Yeah, see how the head turns. It's like people that don't know how to nestle. Wait, come back. People who don't know how to nestle, they're like this. And that's okay physically. And everybody's not a hugger. But I'm speaking about, thank you, honey. Nestle into the affection from above.
Amen.
That God is sending you through another person.
Amen.
God operates through people. And so as you move forward, ask him to help you to see his affection for you as it is being delivered, hand delivered. By the people he's placed in your life.
Amen.
That surround you.
Amen.
It's legitimate.
Amen.
You don't have to walk around saying, I don't need nobody, I got God. That's not how God designed it. People who say that don't understand the program. That's not the program. People who say, I don't need nobody but Jesus, they are true, but they don't recognize Jesus. Jesus shows up in his people.
Amen.
We are members of one another.
Amen.
Receive the support.
Amen.
Ask God to help you to see that as coming from him. When people say thank you to me for something that I've done or something that I've said, I say, you're welcome. And I say, his gift, my pleasure.
Amen.
Because that's how I see it.
Amen.
If I've been blessed to touch someone's life, to give them the encouragement to take another step, I see that I'm a conduit.
Amen.
He's the source.
Yes,
he is. As I said, he's the creator of love. He is love. And any vestiges of it, any kind of expressions of it, human expressions that come through us, he's the source.
Amen.
So receive the support of family and friends as from the Lord. And I want to close by sharing with you something that a brother just sent to me, and I'm going to pass it on to you. He wrote this letter. It's Brother Edgar. You guys know Brother Edgar. He sits right here. Some of you know Edgar, some of you don't. But he wrote, he said, hello, Pastor. Guess you know I've been out a minute. Back at work prior to Christmas and working Sunday through Thursday, which is a new change. But as you tell me, I must walk by faith. I want to thank you for your constant presence in my life. Right when I start to feel a certain kind of way, I seem to relate back to something you said or one of your sermons, and it brings me to a peaceful place. I'm truly grateful for you and my Valley Brook family. One of the greatest attributes of Valley Brook is that no matter how long you are away, you can always come home.
Amen.
Pastor, please give all my family hugs, kisses. I ain't kissing all of y'all. Hugs, kisses, and much love from me. And look to see you all soon, provided schedules and God willing. Love the sister love also. Your bud, Edgar. But I share this because it is such an expression. It's so Edgar, number one. And number two, it's such a reflection of the gift that God has given us amongst one another. This is a special place, brothers and sisters. This is a special, Brother Jim says it, and this is a special time. I've been a pastor for a long time. And I can tell you, I have never been a part of a more glorious ministry than the one that I am a part of now. A healthier ministry. A place of dazzling glory and wonderful people. It's amazing. And I'm not the only one that said, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
If you agree, raise your hand.
Amen.
And I'm going to do something. If you agree, touch the person next to you. I've never done that before, but since it's the beginning of the year, that's my first and last time that I've done it.